tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greeting friends around the world, an American social scientist estimated recently that 15 to 30% of the world's population suffers from mental disorders. So you might think about the four F's of today. The dropout from society, the dropout from life itself, people who simply don't qualify as normal human beings. The four F's, fatalistic, fearful, frustrated, and futile. And people are living in a sort of an empty vacuum of absolute futility, with little, if any, sense of a goal or purpose in living. Now, if that sounds a little negative, take a look at these fantastic statistics. There are more than 19 million Americans that are mentally unbalanced. In Britain, one person in four has some psychiatric disorder ranging from minor neurosis to major mental illness. One woman in nine and one man in 14 will spend a period in a mental hospital, and those figures were published by the National Association for Mental Health. Everywhere you look today, people are not happy. They are not living balanced, normal lives that are filled with, well, a feeling of security and well-being, of mental stability, a broad, wonderful horizon and future for them. Our home lives are falling apart. Our children are frustrated, fearful, defeated, nervous, and upset. And mounting child crime is certainly another part of the sickness of modern society. Now, in the last program, I read 9 guaranteed ways to produce mental illness. And one of the doctors up in Denver, a psychiatrist, had said that Colorado taxpayers in that one state of the Rocky Mountain area of the United States of America could expect to send $20 million a year on mental illness until the deterioration of morality and family life is stopped. But the same story is everywhere. South Africa, in Britain, especially acute. In Australia, everywhere you look. Now, of course, many areas of the earth, New Zealand, I could mention a few, such as Switzerland and so on. The type of life that some people lead is far more conducive to mental health. And an absence of some of the perplexing problems of our growing giant megalopolises of steel and concrete and glass than in the Western world of affluence. I recognize that factor. But it's a growing problem, and it's one that has worldwide import. Now, those 9 ways to produce mental illness were the decline of religious authority, first, a decline of morality in the home and in society, second, the failure in home life when tens of thousands of mothers are working, regardless as to the reasons for it, fourth was a lack of discipline in the home with some parallel in the school, fifth was an exposure of children to tens of thousands of irresponsible adults and their irresponsible adult actions. And sixth was exposure to seduction in movies, and seventh was exposure to obscenity in comic books, and eighth was exposure to murder in television shows, and ninth was exposure to publicity of crime and human frailty. And as this one columnist said, unless we take steps to stop those things, we must go on building hospitals for the mentally ill. But I want to give you this time 9 major methods by which any society could totally avoid mental health. Or I mean by that mental ill health and mental illness, and could achieve, on the other hand, peace of mind. Could achieve a stable and a sound mind, could be rearing happy, healthy, and satisfied children. But it would take a fantastic amount of changing in a lot of homes and families. Well, here they are. Now, they said decline of religious authority is one of the major reasons in overall societies why people are distressed and disturbed and why crime rises and why it is that people are futile and frustrated today. A decline of religious authority. Well, on the opposite side of the coin, then, what should you do about religion? You ought to teach children about God. J. Edgar Hoover said a child taught to obey the laws of God will have little trouble obeying the laws of man. Question religion and think about it. A lot of people don't even like to talk about religion. And I'll agree with you, there are enough weird, oddball, fanatic, way-out religions today that it's enough to make you sick in just perusing some of the pages that advertise about all of the shenanigans and the fal-de-ral you can see on the stage under the guise of religion. But investigate your own private religion. Now, if you're not
a married person and the head of a home or a wife or a mother or a father and you don't have children that you're concerned about and you're a lonely person and you're by yourself, well, what about your own mental health? Even though you're not concerned about that of others, what about your own? You know, I think there are about as many people who go off their rockers relevant to religion and because of nutty, weird religious ideas as for any other reason. And I've met enough weirdies and oddballs. You know, I've met a whole assortment of Elijahs. I've had one fellow come into my office that claimed he was Christ himself. I've met all kinds of prophets. Weirdies, nuts, oddballs. Some of them are absolutely so far gone that you pity them and you wish you could do something to get through. No, you're not Christ, you see. You're just a human being. But they won't believe you. There's one guy who thinks he's the devil today, apparently. And, of course, he's probably closer to the truth than some of these other fellows were, but it does make you think. Now, have you ever questioned your own religion? Have you ever wondered where you got the things you believe? What is the source of your convictions, your opinions, your very guiding principles in life? If you want mental health, if you want happiness, if you want a stable and a controlled and a balanced mind, and if you want the rewards of the good life, then it's time you looked into the very deepest motivating forces in your present life and find out what are some of the problems. And I'll tell you, religion is a big one. Now, this man placed it first, and I think that's where it belongs. But can you explain creation without a creator? Now, you can teach a child anything. Let's talk about children for a moment. You can teach a child literally anything. You can teach an innocent, lovely little baby to be an absolute savage beast. You could get rid of a lot of racial confusion by teaching children to love other races. You could take a beautiful little Negro boy, just brand new, born, and just as cute as he could be, and find him a white, wet nurse, and the two of them would just love one another, and he'd grow up thinking that his white mother was just fantastic, and vice versa, and it's been done. You could take a white child and you could find a Negro woman who would become his wet nurse and his mother, and that little baby would grow up just loving her and playing with the children, and unless somebody else started injecting a lot of venom, a lot of hate into his mind, he'd grow up completely oblivious to all the racial bigotry in the world. Now, I'm not seriously proposing that people start mixing families and mixing races and in miscegenation and that type of thing at all. I'm just pointing out that you can teach children anything, and that children are not going to have a lot of mental psychoses and neuroses and worries and fears and night sweats and wake up screaming with headaches and all of that type of thing. You're not going to find little 12-year-olds leaving suicide notes and 4-year-olds wondering what they're here for, and mentally ill kids age 9, 10, 13, and 14, and you're not going to find a lot of dropouts and trippers on LSD if you have young people who are taught normally and are given real hope for life and hope for the future and are given an absolute goal and a purpose in their being. You can teach a child anything, to hate or to love, and you can teach a child about God. Now, a lot of people have the nutty notion that you ought to let these little minds wait until they grow up and then decide for themselves. And pardon me, but that is, it would be laughable if it weren't such a tragedy. Do you know the truth about anything? You do? What? Well, I'm just asking you what. Now, you know the truth about a few things, don't you? You know what makes bubbles in water in the teapot? You know where steam comes from? Do you know what's behind the light switch in the wall? Sure you do. You know a few things about physics, don't you? You know a few truths about your own language, about books, about religion, about race, about society, about geography? Do you know how to read a map? Can you tell a little bit about the weather? You can? Fine. Great. What about religion? Do you know the truth about a few things? Well, then, do you think for one moment that applying this crazy idea of letting children decide for themselves to other areas of life, that you should let a child grow up and decide for himself at age 6 whether or not he wants to touch the stove, play with knives, toy with matches, run into the street? Nobody's that nutty. Nobody's that dumb. And yet, about far-reaching and important principles that are going to become his guidelines for life, people think, don't tell him anything and let him find out for himself, especially about sex. What is it? Everybody's got a giant guilt complex? Parents? They ought to admit by the fact they got a child that they had to understand a little bit about it. But they are real embarrassed to try to teach their children about it, and a lot of parents have the crazy idea that they'll let nature take its course and don't know that nature isn't going to help anybody when it comes to education and things involving sex, morality, religion, and so on. And they want their children to grow up and become old enough to decide for themselves. Now, you can teach a child anything, I repeat.
Well, some people do. They teach a kid that Santa Claus exists. Now, you talk about a lie. Now, some children believe that bunnies lay eggs. Isn't that dumb? They don't lay eggs, and it's a lie. But you can teach a child anything. You can teach him lies. You can teach him fables. You can teach him that frogs and animals talk, or you can teach him that animals and frogs are meant to be observed and wondered at and looked at and enjoyed and educated about and where they came from. Now, you can teach a child that the moon is green cheese, and he will believe you. Later on, when he finds out what a liar you are, it's going to be a rude awakening, quite a shock. But you can teach him that. Now, as I said before, do you know the truth about anything? You do? Terrific. Teach it to your children. If you know the truth about something, the real truth, teach it to your children. You want 9 guarantees that you can rear a child utterly devoid of all the fears and the frustrations and the worries of today? Do you want 9 guarantees on how not to produce mental illness? On how to produce a balanced, stable, sound, positive mind? Well, I'm giving them to you. The first one, then, is to teach your children about God. Teach them the truth about religion. Now, if you want some helps, I've got them for you, and you don't have to believe them just because I have them here for you free of charge. Prove it. Check into it for yourself. Look up the source of your own convictions and beliefs and be willing to question it. Now, for instance, every single issue of the Plain Truth magazine, which is 52 pages, full color, absolutely unique. If you think for anything that this is one of these nutty kind of a magazine that is put out, you know, one of these little mimeographed outfits that is going to tell you about nut bread and date cakes and the like and how to get rid of bunions by various pills and so on. Well, think again. I know you've probably seen a lot of religious magazines. So have I. Maybe you've thought, well, if there's anything about religion in this magazine, it's bound to be a real cheap, shoddy imitation of some kind of a folded little paper. Well, you're going to get the shock of your life when you see the Plain Truth magazine is comparable with any slick, papered, finely printed, top-quality magazine you can lay your hands on, and we sincerely feel better by far. And absolutely free of charge. Takes you no more than a simple moment to jot down a mailing address at the end of this program and write in for it, and if you don't like it, throw it away. Help yourself. You're a free moral agent. But every single issue is the Bible story for children. And if you can't prove evolution to your children, don't lie to them about it. Don't tell them birds came from crocodiles because they're liable to believe it. Now, since they will believe this, do you realize they will also believe the truth if you tell them there is a God? Some kids grow up believing birds came from crocodiles. And now they're adult, mature people with degrees after their names. And they still believe it. Isn't that crazy? It is crazy. Matter of fact, articles in the recent issues of The Plain Truth prove how crazy it is. Now, you can tell your children the truth about God. Remember what J. Edgar Hoover said, a child taught to obey the laws of God will have little trouble obeying the laws of man. You can teach your children the truth about the birth of Christ. For instance, you can teach your child that Christ wasn't born on or anywhere near December 25th. That's the truth. You can teach your child that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was in a house, in a home, by the time the wise men came. That's the truth. You can teach them that Christ was a person who did not have long hair, who did not have a halo, and who was not a kind of a beatnik or a dropout of his day, but that he was all man and a yard wide and had calluses on his hands and a firm grip and a steely look in his eye and had plenty of character and warmth and humanity. Because that's the truth. Instead of allowing them to believe in the fables that a lot of other people have been taught. Now, in this series of articles in the Plain Truth magazine every single month, you don't read a lot of blood and thunder. You don't read about irrelevant, disconnected stories about Daniel in the lion's den and Noah in the ark and so on, Jonah in the whale, but a continuous series of articles going step by step through the Bible, showing you the real meaning behind it, written for that level. And we find that children all the way from age 9 to 99 enjoy it. And we get about as many comments or more, I imagine, from older people and middle-aged people and married couples than we do from the children. And it will give you a real study aid to teach your children about religion. Now remember that one of the major ways guaranteed to produce mental illness in any society was to begin the dissolution of religious authority. The decline and the fall of religious conviction and fervor. The decline and the fall of religious authority. The stripping of the power of the pulpit. Now by this I don't mean somebody screaming and ranting and raving and wheezing about going to hell, as they say in the South. And somebody else going to heaven, and you wonder, you know, where are the graveyards for those who went to the other place? I'm not talking about somebody who preaches fantastic and bizarre sermons of screeching, raving, wild-haired, bug-eyed, fanatical fright sermons that scare the daylights out of somebody so that he lives a certain way because he's terrified not to. You've seen enough of that kind of falderall all your life. You don't want your child growing up accepting a religion out of fear, do you? The truth of God's not a fear religion. No fear in it. There's a statement in my Bible that says, perfect love casts out fear. And while you need to fear God, meaning deep awe and respect and fearing to disobey Him, yet you can have absolute boldness and love and conviction and warmth toward Him. If you knew He existed and could prove it, which you can. Now, before I leave that one major point, and I can see right now I'm not going to cover all these 9 in one program, but it's just as well take time to explain it and let you get them down firmly before we quit the subject. Here is a current article in the Plain Truth magazine, a backup to the one about Archie, the would-be Archaeopteryx who didn't exist, but that's all right, neither did his ancestors. You know, science claims birds came from reptiles, so while you're thinking about the fact of the decline and the dissolution and the breaking up of religion as being a direct contributing factor to much of the mental illness and some of the nutty ideas about religion being the direct cause of a lot of real weird people that are off in their upper story. Think about going back, uncluttering your mind, going right to the trunk of the tree to the real beginning questions of all. Does God exist? Is that God the author by reason of inspiration? The director, the editor, the one who caused the transmission, the preservation, the translation of the text of the Bible. Is God alive? Did He cause that the Bible would be written? And is the Bible the word of that living God? These are the basic questions. Then I submit to you, if you have proved those things and you really and firmly believe them, you experience them. You don't just believe them academically. You know they're true, and you know that you know. Then your worries about understanding the Bible, about understanding prophecy, doctrine, New or Old Testament, are over. Absolutely over. You will know the truth. That's an absolute guarantee. But that's the place to begin. Now, you see religious confusion about you. You see that one of the major reasons a lot of people get real nutty and a lot of homes are breaking up and one man's going to act like a tyrant and insist that his wife do this and that and the wife gets nutty ideas. You know, some people make a religion out of bread, bacon and beans. They can get excited about foodstuffs. They learn a little simple truth about diet. Maybe they learn they shouldn't eat certain products. I did. I found that out and I was wrecking my health. I quit smoking after I had been smoking for a number of years. I quit smoking, let's see, it was in 1953. After I'd smoked for about 8 years. I imagine by this time my lungs are pink again. I imagine they were black by that time. But I know I'm still playing basketball about 5 times a week in a pretty frightening up-and-down-the-court game at least once a week, an actual competition in intramural basketball with young college students and able to keep up with them fairly well. And I'm enjoying real, fine physical condition and health. And I see a lot of my former buddies, people that I knew in high school, and it's real shocking. It really is. A number of them have kind of gone to pot, and I say that literally. You know, the bay windows beginning to show up, and a lot of hair is falling out in one thing or the other. So I happen to know that physical exercise and right diet and right types of foods pay off. Now, I found out I shouldn't be eating certain products. Ham, bacon, pork roast, what have you, that kind of stuff, because a lot of people realize that a doctor who finds you have cancer is going to tell you immediately, knock off the pork products and the high fat content and all that. Well, it just so happens that there is a law of God involving diet in the Bible concerning this.
Now, I don't want to make a giant doctrine out of that all of a sudden, but just to tell you that when someone discovers a truth like this, they make a religion out of it, and suddenly the wife is trying to dictate to the husband, you can't eat this and shouldn't eat that, and the other thing is bad for you. And if anybody can get excited, it's about food and diet and weight, because it's so deeply personal and we're so excited about ourselves. So quit trying to cram your religion down somebody else's throat. Don't try to argue your spouse into some truth just because you've discovered it. Look into it together with a warm, comfortable feeling of being willing to understand the other person's point of view. Now, you need, as a human being, as a mature adult human being, to recognize that this world is in the midst of a lot of religious confusion. And if religious confusion and nutty and weird religions and a decline of religious authority is behind much of the mental illness and the various fears and vagaries of the human mind, then it's about time you began to get to the trunk of the tree and find out what is soundness, what is right, what is balance, what is truth. So you need to write for the Plain Truth magazine. Give it a chance. Here's an article on the theory for the birds. Did the miracle of flight come from frayed, loosely hanging fish scales? Now that's what evolution says. First it tells you, and here's the actual quote, you'll see it with your eyes, of the complexity of a feather. And it's unbelievable. I mean, it's just so shocking and so amazing at the minuscule, infinite technicality and the perfection that you see in a bird feather. And then right after that, they tell you it evolved from some dumb fish swimming too close to a rock and fraying a scale which began to hang loosely and gradually evolved into a feather. Garbage. Loose scales just fall out. They don't evolve into a feather. They tell you that it's complex, that it's fantastically intricate, and then they tell you it's the result of an accident. Did these myriads of birds evolve from ungainly, hulking crocodiles? Evolutionists say they did. I say, on the authority of God Almighty, they didn't, and only the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and you can prove there is a God, and you can prove the ideas of evolution are so absolutely, what is the word for it? Boobish? Addle-headed? What is it? There is no description for a theory that takes the complexity of life and the vast, yawning difference between life and the not living. And the fact of the law of biogenesis, of life from pre-existing life, but life of the same kind, and tries to tell you that this evolved out of dead nothingness. Well, what if I told you our modern jet airliners evolved? Wouldn't you think that's a little nutty? Would you believe it credible that these huge roaring monsters of metal with their complex power-driven control systems, hydraulic systems, intricate electronics, navigational gear, dizzying array of instruments just put themselves together? If you could read about how over millions of years a mere airplane grew a cabin, then it grew a fuselage, then it grew a fin, rudder, stabilizer, airlines, and navigational equipment, avionics, everything, you'd sort of doubt that the author was sane, wouldn't you? Of course, you might say, well, that's just a man-made thing where man does sort of evolve various implements and instruments and machines, and I'd agree with you, but you'd say we're talking about living creatures, and I agree with that too, and that's just the whole point. Living creatures are far more complex, far more amazing than are these machines, and far more accurate. Here we're talking about creatures of flight, little birds, creatures with dozens of different types of specialized airframes. Some, if they're going to be diving and fast maneuvering birds, have their wings set far forward. Others, if they're long range, long migratory birds like our waterfowl, they got their wings way back and the necks way out in front, just the way you do it to a glider. Different types of specialized equipment, airframes, wing foils, rudders, ailerons, stabilizers, and with amazing navigational equipment that would make a modern jet aircraft look sick by comparison. When you talk about birds, you're talking about creatures that combine propeller and wings in one. Try to do that with an airplane. You're talking about all different types of landing gear. Did you know ducks and geese even have flaps? They stick their feet forward and spread their webs and use them to help guide themselves in for a landing. You've got landing gear on birds, different types to grip and perch and put them in a hangar on a twig or walking around on rocks, as the case may be, and all kinds of different arrays of sea and air search equipment. Birds that hover like a helicopter can and take off straight up like VTOL aircraft and even fly backwards. And helicopters can't quite do that so well.
nowhere near in so accurate a fashion as a hummingbird. How'd the first hummingbird learn to back out? Can you imagine it? The first hummingbird gets stuck in a morning glory. He flies in, and he hasn't yet learned how to back out. And so he dies, and hummingbirds don't exist. No, well, they do exist, and so he must have been able to do everything that he does today when he first became a hummingbird, and that's when he was created. Birds soar like gliders. They fly in complex formations like military bombers, and they migrate over mysterious courses for thousands of miles through all kinds of weather to reach the very same nest. Try that with a jet. You can't do it. You'll find ducks and geese flying along in weather that no pilot in his right mind would even be found out of doors in. But here they are, unerringly, migrating away thousands of miles, and all this evolved. Now this article analyzes all of the anatomy of birds. Feathers, respiratory, skeletal, nervous, digestive systems, bills, nest building techniques. Here are pictures of them. You want to teach your children about God? You want to start combating this thing of the decline of religious authority? You want to start correcting the problems and doing it right? Then get your name on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine and teach them about it. Get the Bible story for children in every single number. These articles absolutely are unanswerable by evolutionists. Unanswerable. They disprove evolution. They substantiate the fact that God exists. Other articles coming. Now, here's one you'll want in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine. Once in a while, you might hear some rumor. Somebody says, I believe in a salvation by works. And that's what you hear. Well, you've never heard that. I don't believe in it. I don't believe you can do one remote thing, speaking theologically for a moment, to earn your salvation. Few, even professing Christians, understand some of this biblical terminology. To them, it's just so much spiritual salt and pepper. They don't even know what you're talking about. So here's an article, What Do You Mean, Rewarded According to Works? In the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, few understand the difference between being saved by grace and rewarded according to works. And here is a sequel to the article, What Do You Mean, Salvation, that appeared in the December 1966 issue. This will really open your eyes if you want to get it straight. It's plain, it's simple, it's straight from the shoulder. It really is clear. It will clear it up for you. People don't understand. We understand in other aspects of life. Why don't we in religion? People understand that if you're a member of a home, you're not there because you earned it, and yet if you have a certain sustenance given to you, it's probably a free gift. And on the other hand, there are rewards. A child is given life. He's given his birth. He didn't earn it. But from then on, he begins to earn his own way, and it's the same in spiritual life. This article makes it quite clear. If you write in for the current number of the Plain Truth magazine, of course, you'll automatically get the subscription continuing, and there'll be no bill, no price, no one's going to call on you. There is absolutely no cost. Now, there are no advertisements to even suggest that you need to send something in. There just aren't. This magazine is free of charge. There is no price. And while you're at it, write for this article on confidence. True mental health. Just mention the one on confidence, and we'll know what you mean. Find out how you can have a stable, balanced mind. These articles I've mentioned are in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine. It's free of charge if you write to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station, the address again in a moment. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.